What is happening to supermarket prices? Do own label brands taste good? What's the best supermarket? What's the worst? How do I spend less on my weekly shop? Are there ways I can shop smarter? Should I just be growing my own veg? How do I even grow veg? Wine to pair with spag ball?
When life gives you questions, get answers at which.co.uk. When life gives you questions, which get answers.
Welcome to the Which Money Podcast, your weekly hit of money news and personal finance hacks to help make you better off. I'm your host, Lucia Ariano, and here's what's coming up this week.
Depending on your circumstances, you can apply for a 25% reduction on your bill. For example, if you're living alone or you live with somebody else who's exempt from paying council tax, such as a full-time student.
If something has happened near your home which you think has materially reduced its value, you can apply to the Valuation Office Agency, which is a part of Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, to have it revalued.
This week on the show, we're deep diving into council tax. Councils have permission to increase bills by 5% this April, but some cash-strapped councils may need to raise bills even more. So how much could it all cost, and why are many councils really struggling? To bring us up to speed on all of this and so much more, I'm very pleased to say I'm joined by Which Money podcast regular Matthew Jenkin, a senior writer at Which Money, and we're also joined by an expert on local government, Professor Tony Travers from the London School of Economics. Hello both.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. Well, should we start at the top then, Matthew? First up, bills go up in April. Do we know by how much?
The letter's probably already popped through your door confirming what your new council tax bill will look like from April. And surprise, surprise, almost everyone's paying a bit more this year. Of course, how much you pay depends on where you live and which council tax band your property falls into. But if we take a look at England first. So government data released last Thursday showed that the average council tax bill for a bandy property will rise by 5.1%. That equates to about £106. Council tax rises are currently capped at 5% in England. And we found that around a third of local authorities in the country are raising it by that much. This cap includes a maximum 2% adult social care precept. That's an additional charge eligible councils can opt to include to pay for adult social care services in the area. But we can chat about those extra charges a little bit later on if you like.
So for some councils, it's going to be a lot more than the 5% cap.
Yeah, unfortunately, some areas face much sharper increases. In England, a handful of councils with particularly stretched finances have been given special government permission to go even further and raise rates higher than the current limits. There's a total of four doing that after recently declaring effective bankruptcy by issuing what are called Section 114 notices. So residents in Birmingham, Woking, for example, they're going to see their bills go up by 9.99% and 10% respectively. So it's a lot. In Birmingham, it will take the annual council tax bill for a bandy property from £1,630 to £1,793 in 2024-25. That's a £162 increase. Woking, on the other hand, will also see a rise of 8.5%, while Thurrock residents can expect to pay 8% or more. So they're big rises.
Goodness me, that does seem like a lot. I mean, before we touch on Wales and Scotland, Tony, what do you make of all of this? It's gone as far as some councils having to declare effective bankruptcy. What's going wrong with local government finance?
Well, there's really sort of two slightly different things. There's for all councils across England and to some extent in Wales and Scotland, they've faced cuts to central government funding over the whole period since 2010. It's true in the last two or three years, it's got a little bit better, grants have gone up. But over the whole period, council finances have been very, very much cut back by cuts in government grants. So councils are today spending typically 20% less than they were back in 2010. But in the specific councils which have the big problems, the Birminghams and the Sloughs and the Wokings and the Thurrocks, they have one-off issues which have simply fallen into their book. So in Birmingham's case, it was the need to catch up on equal pay for women who'd not been paid the same as men in the past.
Right.
In Thurrock, I won't go through them all, don't worry. Mm-hmm. In Thurrock, it was an investment in a solar panels company that just went to the bad. Mm-hmm. So all of the costs of that fall into the council's budget, and that's not only pushing the council tax up, but squeezing their capacity to spend on street lighting, street sweeping, and all the things we see just outside our front door.
Well, shall we bring back into the equation Wales and Scotland now? Matthew, what's going on there with council tax rises?
Yeah, so in Wales, we've got this cap in England, but in Wales they don't have a cap. So council tax is going up by even more in some cases. In Pembrokeshire, for example, they've got the largest bandy percentage increase of 12.5%. And council tax on average is going up by 7.7% or £145. The only households not facing a hike in bills are those living in Scotland. There, the government's frozen rates until April 2025. Although, interestingly, two Scottish councils initially defied the freeze. Argyll and Bute initially approved a 10% increase, while Inverclyde wanted to raise bills by 8.2% this year and 6% the next. But fortunately, both local authorities are now reconsidering their plan, and they're likely to fall in line with the rest of Scotland and keep rates the same from April.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because it is the case that some councils aren't raising council tax at all. And I think I've got here, if you live in Wandsworth, for example. I mean, Tony, can you tell us more? You know, why is there such disparity? And you've already touched on this between areas.
There's always going to be some difference, you know, between councils that traditionally have low council taxes, and Wandsworth in London definitely is one of those, are those which have traditionally had higher ones, partly because of different levels of government funding in the past that are built into the base, and partly because some councils can raise money from other sources. I mean, typically city centre authorities, particularly in London, find it easier to raise money from things such as car parking charges and things like that. So you've got very different situations, but there's no doubt that, you know, there being hundreds of local authorities across the UK, you get some that are very well managed and some that are less well managed, and some that have quite a lot of money in the bank and reserves, cash, like, you know, everybody else can if they're lucky, or at the other end, absolutely strapped for every penny. So, you know, there's just a large distribution from top to bottom. You're lucky if you live in those with low council taxes, with low increases.
And how's the industry and people generally responding to these rises at the moment?
I mean, council tax rises are particularly visible. Mm. Unlike every other tax we pay, you know, the bill comes through the front door.
Yeah.
And, you know, for every pound that's paid in council tax, we are one way or another, directly or indirectly, paying £19 in other ways. But that's much harder to understand. This is a brown envelope through the front door, actually white envelope in our area, but still. And that makes it very visible. And therefore, people are much more aware of having to pay it by instalments, if they choose to do that, or in one lump sum, if they can do that. And it just makes it it's the most visible tax most people ever witness. And that makes it far more discussed than other taxes that raise far more money.
I should pause you on the paying £1 on council tax and £19 elsewhere. Can you talk a bit more about that?
Sure. You know, council tax, which we're all enormously alert to and aware about, raises across the whole country about £40-45 billion. But the overall total of taxes collected in the UK is 1 trillion. I wouldn't normally use the word trillion, 1,000 billion.
Right.
So actually, council tax is a little bit under 5%. So income tax, value-added tax, national insurance, tax on alcohol, tax on petrol, all of these things, add all of them together, and taxes on companies, and you come to the whole of the rest of the other £19.
And as you say, it is visible. So you will have had a letter through your door. Your council tax could be rising by 10% or even more. Shall we talk about what it's going to be actually paying for? Tony, what exactly is included in what councils spend that money on?
OK, the biggest thing that they spend, the biggest item now, which is, and the spending's gone up a lot in the last 15 or so years, is social care. Yeah. A mixture of children in care, either in homes or foster and paid for by the council, or adult care, most of it on older people. And the costs of that have risen, as for all sorts of obvious reasons. The older population is increasing, the number of children in care, and the risks of terrible downsides if the care isn't good, we know about from the various dismal stories in the past. So that now takes up about 60% of all council spending across the country. It's different in Northern Ireland. If you look at the rest of it, it's going on services, as I mentioned earlier, that you see outside your front door, sweeping the streets, keeping the street lights on, the pavements, the roads, elections. Elections are run by councils and paid for by them. And a whole range of very localised services, but crucially, ones that you can see outside your front door. And that's very important because it's easier to judge not only the bill coming in, but where the money's being spent. You know, it's harder to work out where your income tax is going and whether an aircraft carrier is good value for money or not. But this you can see just around your home.
And all of these things that the council tax pays for, is the money only coming from us, the taxpayers, or do councils get this money from somewhere else as well?
They have broadly three income sources. The one we're discussing, obviously, the council tax, which raises now increasingly getting on for half of what councils get by way of income. They get some money from business rates, but in England that's recycled via the government, so it's effectively more like grant. And then they get a government grant, many grants, in fact, to those. So that's national taxpayers funded grants that the government then hands to councils. It's a bit different in Scotland and Wales, and in Northern Ireland are different again. But overall, it's these three sources, certainly for England, Scotland and Wales.
I'd be really interested to hear, Tony, I'm sure you've got many stories of the kind of weird and wonderful examples, you know, to bring this to life, that as we say, there is such disparity across the country. Can you give us some of these examples?
Yes, because of all sorts of disparities in the system, you get curiosities like a semi-detached house in Plymouth paying more than a mansion in the city of Westminster. That's one kind of oddity.
Well, can you unpack that? Why? Why is that?
It's because partly the relative values back in 1991, they haven't gone up as much in Plymouth as they will have done in Westminster, though they've come down a bit subsequently in Westminster. But it's also because of the cap that was put on band H. So nothing can go above band H. And that means in some places you'll get much smaller properties in band H than the huge mansions that are also in band H. And by the way, you get the reverse at the other end of in band A. You can't get lower than the least valuable home in Britain will be paying a band A council tax. That's the thing. So it's partly the mechanics of the tax and the long time since it was revalued. But you get other curiosities as well, like small businesses, and especially those in higher value areas where they don't get reliefs, because there are reliefs on small business tax, business rates as well. Some small businesses will be paying £1,000 or so a week in business rates, whereas a very large house nearby, and this will particularly be true in London, may be paying only £2,000 or so.
I would really like to bring it back to something we were speaking about before the show. You mentioned an area in Hyde Park and you gave an example of what the council tax might be for a beautiful flat above a business. Can you go into some detail about that?
Well, I was involved in a commission doing some work, and people who are helping me looked out the council tax that was being paid in one. It was a home near Hyde Park in London, which had recently been sold for £150 million. This was some years ago, £150 million.
So it's gone up by quite some
exactly.
by now, but
yeah. But it and the council tax at that time there was about £1,350, whereas at the bottom of the same building was a shop. It's really quite a luxury shop, whose business rates were £250,000 a year, so £250,000 for a smaller space. And of course, again, there's a sort of disparity between what individuals pay on their homes, many of them, and what businesses pay, particularly smaller businesses in places where they don't get reliefs.
I mean, I love how you began this by saying there are some curiosities, because actually I think that's being quite kind and diplomatic. I think it feels quite ludicrous. I mean, even not compared to the cost of the business tax, £1,300 a year for that kind of property just seems bonkers.
Well, indeed, it would be. The same property, if it was in an American city where they don't have caps on the top and bottom values, they have a value-based system, might pay $250,000 a year, £200,000 a year, because there's no cap at the top and bottom. I mean, we've ended up with a very clunky system where now the government tries to get the tax out of these properties when they're sold through capital, through stamp duty. And huge taxes on them at the point of sale. The difficulty with that is, of course, it blocks the market. So, I mean, what we're saying here is the whole of tax in Britain needs looking at and reforming. That's a bigger issue, but others are looking at it. I think there are people out there looking at that very issue.
And to go back to the physical bill that we'll all be receiving in the post, Matthew, can you break down what it is we'll be seeing?
Yeah, so when you look at your bill, so as well as the core council tax and the adult social care precept, which we've already touched on, there might also be tax set by other organisations, such as your parish council or the police and crime commissioner. If you live in the capital, there's also a charge from the Greater London Authority. I mean, this can make a big difference. For example, if we only look at council tax and the adult social care precept, our analysis of government data found that Breckland has the cheapest rates. Residents in this area of Norfolk will only pay £115.46 per year for a Band D property. And that's despite bills rising 4.53% from April for them. But that rises to an eye-watering £2,219.32 when you add all the other charges on top. So you can't always take these figures at face value. Of course, council tax isn't the only bill going up from April as well. We've got broadband and mobile phone charges, water, TV licenses going up. So clearly the ongoing cost of living crisis is far from over, and these rises are going to put more and more unwanted pressure on households feeling the squeeze.
Well, in a moment, we'll be back with plenty more on this, including how you might be able to reduce your council tax bill.
Want to stay ahead of fraudsters and across the latest scams? At Which, we helped prevent an estimated £1.8 million in scam losses last year, thanks to our Scam Alert newsletter. And each week we provide more information on the latest scam activity, helping protect you, your family, and your friends. Stay in the know and avoid falling victim to scammers by joining over 450,000 people already signed up to our free Which Scam Alerts. To join them, head to which.co.uk/scamalert and sign up today.
So you've had a letter with your new council tax bill through the post. I'm sure many of us will be interested in finding out if it's possible to reduce our bill. Matthew, what discounts can you get on your council tax bill?
Yeah, so there are steps you can take to reduce your council tax bill. Depending on your circumstances, you can apply for a 25% reduction on your bill. For example, if you're living alone or you live with somebody else who's exempt from paying council tax, such as a full-time student. There's also discounts on empty properties or if you own a second home or holiday home.
And if you think you might be eligible for any of those discounts, what do you do? What's your first step?
Yeah, the best way to do that is to contact your local council and give them a call or go to the website.
And the other issue here, of course, is what band your house is in. So this is based on the value of your home, but that's not been reassessed for a long time, has it, Tony? Why hasn't it been updated?
Well, it's worth remembering, many of your listeners will remember, that the council tax emerged from the wreckage of what was called the community charge or the poll tax, which had been a policy disaster, really. And when this tax, council tax, was introduced in 1993, it was based on the values of homes in 1991, and they were put into one of eight bands. So that effectively creates a top and a bottom band, which is very important. So that's why it happened like that. But of course, the lesson that governments of all parties learned from the disaster that was the community charge, the poll tax, is that if you change people's bills, the people who pay more notice it and the people who pay less don't. And so no government since has dared revalue them. So we're stuck with 1991 values. I mean, just imagine if we were all paying income tax on relative incomes in 1991. So it's a very odd thing. And values of homes have changed enormously since that time.
I mean, that was over 20 years ago. So, I mean, if you think you might be in the wrong band...
Over 30 years ago, I'm afraid.
Oh, gosh, over 30 years ago. Over 30 years ago, even worse. I mean, if you... How do you know if you might be in the wrong band?
At the time, if you've lived with the band for all of that time, the chances are... You've accepted that you're in the right band. But if you think you're not, or more to the point, if something has happened near your home which you think has materially reduced its value, and that would apply whether you are living in an owner-occupied home or a rented home, you can apply to the Valuation Office Agency, which is a part of Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, to have it revalued and have them look at it and move you hope, down a band. There is just the risk that they'll say no, or you'll be put up a band, but the chances are, if you've got something that's obviously happened near your home and reduced its value, it might be worth doing that.
I mean, do you have any examples of what that might be? I'm sitting here as somebody who's living in a flat that has cladding issues. Could that be one?
I would have thought if it's a cladding issue that has materially reduced the value, yes, I think that would be. I mean, some new facility has moved near your home that has reduced its value. And it's all about value and relative value. I mean, they've got to, I know it sounds odd, but it's got to be, they're looking at it compared with its relative value today, compared with its relative value in 1991, compared with other properties nearby. But clearly some properties do go down in value for reasons that are nothing to do, not for the fault of those who live in them.
So if you think you might be in the wrong band, Matthew, you can challenge it. Can you tell us more about how?
Yeah, I mean, one thing you could do yourself before you do that is to do a bit of research, and you can ask your neighbours, for example, see if there's anyone else on your street who lives in a similar property, who's on a lower band. You know, on my street, for example, there's a property exactly the same as ours that's on a lower band than ours. However, everyone else is on the same band. So you wonder whether those people are just, you know, very lucky. So in our case, we're not really considering sort of applying for a review, mainly because we feel that if we do, it's unlikely we're going to go to a lower band. And if those people actually did apply, just simply because the majority of us are on the same, that higher band, they're at risk, therefore, of being pushed up and paying more council tax. But I think it's, as Tony mentioned, is, you know, there's individual circumstances involved, but you should definitely do a bit of research first before you go down that route.
I mean, I agree with all of that. Just, I should add that in Wales there was a revaluation. I should have added this. There was a revaluation, and they introduced a ninth band as well. So they have a band I above the band H. But in England and Scotland, still the same values as 1991. Wales in the early 2000s, there was a revaluation.
That's very interesting about Wales there. I mean, for the end of the show, it would be really interesting just to widen out a bit and get your thoughts, really, on anything you're predicting for council tax. Will there be an overhaul of the system in the wider UK?
No. Sorry to be so abrupt, and I'm not the kind of interviewee you want. But the point is, I think, as I said, governments of all parties have run away from this. And it is really interesting, given how much we all pay in tax and how much of it is taken away from us without us noticing it. You know, every time you fill up a car, buy a bottle of alcohol, most of us, you know, your income tax is paid before you get the figure at the bottom right-hand corner. But this tax is very noticeable, as we've discussed earlier. And I think with that in mind, it would be a very, very brave government that did the right thing, and that would be to revalue all the homes across both England and separately, of course, in Scotland.
And what about the financial stability of local councils? Do you think bills will continue to rise steeply to keep them afloat?
I think they will, yes. And none of this is going to be affected. I'm not predicting anything, but, you know, people talk about there might be a change of government. None of the things I'm about to say would be affected. The overall position of the public finances, that's the government across the UK's public finances, is so poor, so difficult, that finding extra money for councils or for defence, which has also been in the news, is almost impossible. And so what we're going to see is council tax pushed up more, I think, possibly more like the Wales rates. And as we discussed earlier, they're going up faster in Wales, and a little bit more, because in the end, the trade-off between paying a bit more in council tax, however painful, and having dirtier streets or more potholes, lots of potholes in the news at the moment. You know, in the end, most of us will trade to paying the extra amount. But what this doesn't, of course, can never move from the truth, is that the need to do this is because central government is not paying as much grant to councils as they used to. And so for many people, they're ending up with lower levels of council spending for a higher council tax. And that's a very odd signal to send.
Well, it has been a super interesting show today. So much ground covered. Thank you so much to Matthew and Tony for coming on the show today.
Thank you.
Well, a huge thank you again to Tony and Matthew for coming on the show today, and to you for listening to this week's episode of the Which Money podcast. If you enjoyed today's show, please do hit subscribe to make sure you catch our new episodes as soon as they drop. For more daily money news and advice, you can find us on social media at Which Money and online at which.co.uk/money. And we also have a free money newsletter, which is delivered to your inbox every Monday. To sign up, visit which.co.uk/money newsletter. This episode of the Which Money podcast was written by me, Lucia Ariano, alongside Rob Lilly Jones, produced by me and Adrian Bradley, and edited by James Rowe.
Like listening to podcasts just like this one from the team at Which? Well, we've got some good news. All our podcasts are now available to listen to on YouTube and YouTube Music. So whether you like listening to Get Answers, Which Shorts or Which Money, all episodes can now be listened to directly on YouTube or through the YouTube Music app. To find them, just search for the podcast you'd like to listen to. YouTube's additional functionality also means that you can now read along with subtitles as you listen. Don't panic though, all Which podcasts are still available to listen to elsewhere too. So wherever you listen, we'll see you soon.